We are just going to get Eric Lawrence on the phone lines to talk to him about his upcoming show on Thursday at Helsinki at 8 p.m. He was initially scheduled to play tonight for the WKZE Monday Showcase at Club Helsinki in Hudson with the Eric Lawrence Band, but they had been rescheduled for Thursday, February 14th on Valentine's Day at 8 p.m. due to weather concerns and travel logistics. So Eric is a longtime member of the Levon Helm Band and a 2011 Lifetime Achievement Award winner from the Rockland County Jazz and Blues Society. According to the LevonHelm.com website, Eric Lawrence is a longtime Levon Helm sideman. He has built his career as a saxophonist, flutist, composer, music journalist, poet, and educator. Son of jazz saxophonist and rock and roll guru Arnie Lawrence, who founded the New School of Jazz in New York City and the International Center for Creative Music Studies in Jerusalem, Eric began playing saxophone at the mere age of 5. Eric's music is diverse, soulful, thoughtful, funky, and deeply creative, according to the website. Time and again, Eric has been selected by artists for his strong, sensitive, unique voice and sensitivity to complement an artist's music. Eric currently leads Hypnotism, an innovative group featuring sex mob Stephen Bernstein on side trumpet, and Allison Miller, Anita DeFranco's drummer, actually, and bassist Renee Hart. Playing with Levon Helms, he's played with Buddy Miles, Joan Osborne, the Spin Doctors, the band with Bob Dylan. So we're just going to play a quick song and then get Eric Lawrence on the phone lines. Right now we're going to listen to Matter of Time. Listening to Matter of Time. We have Eric Lawrence, who was just playing on that song on the line. Can you hear us, Eric?
Yes. How's Radioland?
Oh, Radioland is live.
It's hip. It's hip. It's cool.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So who am I speaking with? I want to hear your voices.
This is Melinda Broughton. I was speaking with you a little bit before. I'm really excited to have you on. Could you actually just talk a little bit about that one song we just listened to, Matter of Time? Which album was that off of?
That was off of, actually, it's on a couple of different albums, but the last one is a cooperative trio that I have called Honey Ear Trio, and the last album we did is called Steampunk Serenade. And it's a composition that I wrote several years ago for another project, a poetry and music project called Merge. And so we have another version on that recording. But it's a very special song to me. I think it's it's a beautiful melody, and it sort of brings out what we like to do as a trio, which is to really, really listen and communicate and use that kind of melodic setting as a way to create a conversation amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be playing at Helsinki this coming Thursday. It was initially planned for Monday this afternoon or this evening. What do you have in store coming up on Thursday?
Well, this should be really, really fun. I mean, Pete Levin, who is just probably one of the greatest keyboard players in the world, and a resident up in the Hudson Valley near where you guys are, over near Woodstock, is someone that I get to play with quite often because we do a jazz brunch at the Falcon once a month. And an old friend of mine, Rich Syracuse on bass, and Jeff Siegel, who both of these guys are pretty much bastions of the music scene in the Hudson Valley and world-renowned as well. They've traveled all over the world. So I'm really excited to play with some old friends and some new friends. And the fact that it's Valentine's Day just sort of like raises the stakes even more.
Are you going to curtail it towards Valentine's Day?
Well, it might be a little bit. I mean, it seems almost cliche for us to play My Funny Valentine, but, you know, some sort of a generous suggestion might be able to twist our arms into playing it. I still love that song.
Well, when we were corresponding a little bit via email, you were mentioning a couple of projects that you, I'll quote you as saying, were very dear to your heart. And so I think it's quite interesting to just continue in that line of which projects you're currently working on that have been pulling on your heartstrings. You mentioned Vox Lumina. Is that how you pronounce it?
Vox Lumina, yeah. Well, Vox Lumina is special to me. Well, you know, first I'll say, and thank you for playing Vox Lumina. I heard you were playing it on the radio just a little bit ago, and thanks so much. It's a project that should be coming up into the Hudson Valley probably this spring for some events. And, you know, and we'd be happy to come back on the radio and talk about that one, too. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky because at this point in my career, I only do projects that are near and dear to my heart, and I only get to play with musicians that I really admire and respect and like as people, which is just a great thing to be doing with your life. Mm-hmm. And the person who leads Vox Lumina is a woman who is probably dearest to my heart because she's my sweetheart.
Aww.
And but that aside, her music is some of the most inspiring music that I've gotten a chance to play in a long time. It's very, very original, and it's got a deep and incredible story to it, which is, there's a whole, you have to go to www.voxlumina.com and, you know, find out the story. It's kind of a nature-based creation story about the forces of the organic world taking back the world from the synthetic world, which is backed up with a whole lot of, you know, myth and science and done in a beautiful organic way with amazing songs interlaced throughout. And so sometimes we do a performance with the entire, what she calls dream telling, which really encompasses the entire story, almost like Peter and the Wolf, like all of a sudden the song comes up. Because it represents something that happens in the story, which is just brings us back to another way to look at music, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, I was picking up a little bit about that on the website, and the language was kind of hard to penetrate initially, just because it does seem to have a full narrative that's embedded in almost another language at times, but the lyrics were quite beautiful. Yeah, and then you also mentioned your sort of love letter to New Orleans, which is Lawrence and the Hypnotism, which is another CD that you have come out with, right?
Yes, Hypnotism is a really, really fun project that we did a few years ago. We recorded it at Lewand Studio in Woodstock at the Barn back in 2000. What? At the Barn.
Fantastic.
And, I'm sorry?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. It's a great sound, and it's a great atmosphere, and you just feel at home, and there's so much magic in the walls there, and now more than ever, but, you know, there's so much magic in the walls there that really special things happen. So this was a project that I did with the same musicians that you just heard on the Honey Ear Trio recording, but in addition to that, my dear friend and beloved musical partner, Stephen Bernstein, who plays the slide trumpet and the trumpet, and he and I have been partners musically in Levon Helm's band for 8 years, and in Stephen's band, the Millennial Territory Orchestra, for going on 14 years, and then with Hypnotism going back to about 2005, actually. You know, so... you know, when you play together for a long time with people, you make some really beautiful music together. You just know the common language. It's like old friends, you know, except music is the language that you speak.
Yeah.
You know, So yeah, so that music was a lot of it was inspired by my love for the music that comes out of New Orleans. And then I would say coincidentally, it was recorded about 10 days before Katrina hit New Orleans, so nobody even knew at that point that that was even a possibility. So it was just a pure gesture, and then it took on so much meaning when all the devastation occurred. You know?
Wow.
So have you played anything from that?
Have I what?
Have you played anything on the air from that album?
Yeah, I believe we played... Is Matter of Time on that one?
Well, that's a steampunk.
Oh, that's the one. What about Big Chief? What was that one?
Big Chief is most definitely a New Orleans classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll play that one because that was one on the list I was going to play.
Awesome. Yeah.
And
I should just say the other players in that band. I have to say this since people are listening. Stephen Bernstein on trumpet, myself on baritone saxophone. The amazing Allison Miller on the drums, and Renee Hart on the bass, and it's a very special group of musicians. And you might have heard Allison play with anybody from Ani DiFranco and Brandi Carlile, Natalie Merchant, to a lot of jazz greats like Dr. Lonnie Smith and all kinds of folks like that. Allison's pretty special.
Wow.
And,
And you've been playing the saxophone and the flute, correct? Like, since you were five?
Yes, which is a very long time.
Yes.
Longer than I've been tying my shoes, because I've taken years off from tying my shoes. but I have, and I come from a musical family. And, it's just kind of, in my family, my dad was a great saxophone player, Arnie Lawrence, who a lot of people have heard of him. And he's played a lot of people and taught a lot of people. And in my house, when a child turned 5 years old, he put a sax in their hands and told them how to play the sax. So it was like playing baseball or riding a bike or something like that. And in our house, we played music. Sort of like in the African tradition, they called them griots in West Africa, musical families, And there's a deep spiritual connection there, too, and that's very important to me, and it's a great source of pride.
Fantastic. And did you grow up playing with your dad? Did you ever do any performances with him, or was it more sort of a domestic affair that then offshooted into your own career?
Well, I have to say yes to both of those things you just asked. But when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, I'm not saying I was a prodigy, but I just happened to be in the studio, and I was on my first record, which was a record of his, which was, goes back to the late 60s in the freeform avant-garde, it was sort of like an improvisational record, and myself and the bass player, Richard Davis's son, who was five, just sort of ran around the studio and picked up instruments and played on them along with the other musicians. And then over the years, I stuck with the saxophone because I always loved it. And later on, once I became a professional musician, I had many opportunities to play with my dad, both in jazz settings and then in rock and roll settings, because he had started this very adventurous university in New York City called the New School of Jazz and Contemporary Music, which a lot of musicians have come out of. Of all different types. And among them, very notably, the Blues Traveler and the Spin Doctors, who you still might have heard of, and they're still around playing. And we got to play together with those guys a lot. And we still have a band that goes every once in a while. We just did a reunion concert, although my dad just passed away about 8 years ago. So, we played all kinds of music together. It was really a wonderful, connection we had.
Having grown up in that type of household where you have both and a university or sort of an educational system and then sort of a hands-on approach with having a father who was a successful musician, how has that affected your own sort of approach to education? Because you're a teacher yourself, right?
Yes, I am an educator. And it's interesting. Well, how it affected me as a musician, and then someone who became an educator, was it would require a whole other conversation. But essentially, everyone in my family was a natural musician, and my dad was one of the most gifted natural musicians I've ever come across. And I'm not saying that I didn't have talent, but it wasn't as apparent as it was with my siblings. And, you know, number one, I'd say one of the reasons I'm probably a musician now is because my brother, who's 2.5 years younger than me, was so talented that I refused, it was just a matter of personal pride. I refused to have my younger brother better than me, you know, at music. So I practiced really hard. But a lot of things that didn't come naturally to me, I was surrounded by. So I had an idea of what it was I needed to learn, and I was very self-determined. And because it came so naturally to everybody around me, sometimes when something comes naturally to you as an artist, and you're an artist too, I understand, you don't really know how to teach it. But you know how to teach something if you figure something out the hard way, you know. So I figured out a lot of things the hard way, and as a result, I experienced a lot of heartbreak and mistakes. And when I go to my students now, a lot of times I would say, I know what they're going through because I've been through that myself, you know. So I think because I've gone through the process, like the true process of learning, I can bring that to my students. And at this point, I teach probably, and I'll teach sort of improvisation and how to develop your own original voice on any instrument. And I've done it with musicians and singers and drummers, and not the drummers aren't musicians, but poets and all kinds of artists. You know, developing the original voice is not unique to just being a musician. And they're connecting with poetry as well.
Did you get a lot of hands-on improvisation from attending the barn in Woodstock? Did you partake in that over the course of the years since it started in the 2000s?
Yeah, I'm actually the longest time member of Avon's band. You know, I started playing with them a few months after they started doing the Rambles, and I've seen a lot of change. seen a lot of change occur, but and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and more amazing. But I've seen a lot of things happen, and there was certainly a lot of improvising, great improvising moments and magical moments they couldn't plan.
Is there one in particular that sticks out in your mind when you sort of put that in, when you think of that, like sort of deep improvisation?
Well, okay, I don't want to create a teaser, about a year and a half ago, we spent about a week in the barn with Mavis Staples, who came into the studio, and it culminated in a night of her band performing, and then her performing with our band. Which was recorded and hasn't been released yet, but, you know, setting aside all the CDs that we put out and all the Grammys that we've won, someday that'll come out, and that was about as special and high a musical experience as I've ever had in my life, you know. And if, you know, people could say whatever they want, positive or negative, about the Grammys, that doesn't win a Grammy someday. It's time for the Grammys to rethink what they're doing.
Yeah.
Mavis Staples and Levon Helm and then whoever else, you know.
So I take it you watched the Grammys last night?
Actually, I didn't know, but I watched the commentary feed on Facebook a little bit, and I'm not exactly sure what to think, but, you know, I heard that the tribute to Levon was really, was very touching and heartfelt.
Yeah.
And
I know those are... those are things that I have to piece together with YouTube videos because I also miss them. But
yeah, I don't have a TV in my house. So,
yeah,
you know,
neither. A lot of people don't.
Good for you. Let's hear it for people without TVs. And those might just be the same people who are listening to the radio right now. Let's hear it for radio people.
Eric, I would love to play a couple of songs just to get people ready for Thursday. And so it would be great if I could ask you, just besides Thursday, if you have any upcoming gigs that people could attend if they can't make Thursday and they have some, you know, nice dinner plans with their significant other or something.
Mm.
Or if you have a website or so, and then we'll launch into a song, and you can maybe tell me which song you'd love to hear or play.
Okay, well, and I guess we're talking in the Hudson Valley right now. I have some things that are certainly coming up. Well, there's the go to levonhelm.com. We've got Rambles coming up on March the 2nd and March the 30th. March 2nd will be with a great musical guest, Marco Benevento, and March 30th with Eric Anderson, which should be pretty special as well. And then the very next day, March 31st, I'll be playing the jazz brunch at the Falcon, as I do every month, you know, pretty much the last Sunday of every month with Pete Levin and some other great musicians. And let's see, what else am I doing that's coming up? I don't know. But I would say if you go to my Facebook page, which, let me see if I can find it tonight. But it's probably facebook.com/EricLawrenceMusic. And that's E-R-I-K. The same thing with Pete Levin, because Pete Levin is up in the area and he's amazing. And, you know, everybody should be aware of him and listen to him whenever they can. His brother, you know, gets all the attention for playing with Genesis, but Pete is as great and as special as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I would say those three. And then, you have a couple of tracks from...
I have the Hypnotism up right now, and I could play any of the 9 songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Personally, I love the track Sunny Days because it's an original song of mine. But feel free to, you know, Big Chief is one that probably everybody knows, and it's a great one. It's got great playing from everybody in the band, so...
Have about 4 minutes left until the top of the hour, so why don't I play Sunny Days, because that would be the perfect timing.
Okay, there you go.
Eric, thank you so much for speaking with us on WGXC, and we look forward to hearing you at Helsinki on Thursday, Valentine's Day at 8 p.m.
Please, everybody come out and bring your special someone, or come out and listen to some beautiful music, or... You might even meet somebody special there. You know, you never know. But, Lynn, I hope that you can make it yourself, and if not, you know, hope we meet very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and heal that cold, and then we'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks so much. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye, everybody.
Here's Sunny Days.